Hi, I'm Steve Goldstein, and this is the Friday Newscap podcast. Each week, we review the biggest stories with experts, reporters, and commentators to put the news in perspective. Here's this week's episode.
At no time was I aware of or knowingly took part in an effort to urge Ukraine to investigate former Vice President Biden. As you know from the extensive real-time documentation I have provided, Vice President Biden was not a topic of our discussions.
Now we know that there was an ongoing conspiracy to extort a foreign nation to personally benefit the president.
No one told him there was a link between the aid, that was just his assumption.
And he didn't say he knew anything, he's saying he presumed things. And what is presumption? It's not even hearsay, it's just fabrication.
Our public records requests, it is ripe for us to go in and find some process improvement solutions in there, run a little bit more of a lean operation, so we can look at making sure that we put our resources where we need them, and looking at how we can improve upon things, whether it's using technology, maybe it's having more people in there.
And with us to talk about this week's impeachment hearings, the investigation into Paul Peterson and more, are former Arizona Attorney General Terry Goddard and John Gabriel, editor-in-chief of Ricochet.com. Guys, welcome back. Thanks for being here.
Thank you.
Terry, let me give you the first shot at what you saw with impeachment hearings this week. At this point, as far as the process with your legal background, is there something there, or can both sides keep saying, yes, there is, no, there isn't?
The back and forth is certainly frustrating, but it seemed like there's a compelling and increasing consensus that, in fact, the president asked for a special favor and withheld aid until that favor was, or at least he tried to withhold aid until the favor was produced. You know, the kind of litany of professional State Department officials who, including a major contributor to the inauguration, who have come to the same conclusion is certainly impressive. I think it's a continuous statement that leads to the same conclusion, and that's overwhelmingly bad for the president. It just doesn't seem like he was doing the right thing in this instance.
John, can the elected officials keep sort of going back and forth, though? Because, as Terry said, they're people can see it however they want to see it.
Right. Well, as we know, the phone call he made to Ukraine was perfect in every way, I've been told. But yeah, the
issue, heard the same thing.
The issue with Trump is if he was any kind of normal politician, he would say, look, okay, mistakes were made, things happened, and maybe you'd get away with a censure. But instead, he has to say, perfect phone call. I've never done anything wrong in my life. Everybody knows that everybody says I'm the most ethical person ever. So it forces Republicans, who I do not envy, and that's why so many House Republicans are stepping away from the office next time around, is, you know, he could get away with a censure, but instead they need to defend him, even though his story is changing every day or two.
Terry, watching the hearings, obviously impeachment is a political process, not strictly a legal process. Did you get the sense that, you know, a lot of the questioning was done by lawyers for either the majority or the minority leaders on that committee? Did you get the sense that folks, that lawmakers were trying to make a legal case or a political case? Did you get a sense one way or the other there?
Well, they were trying to, they sounded like lawyers trying to impeach witnesses. That's absolutely true. And they were using all the tricks in the book, including pulling out, you know, whether or not the officer should have been in uniform. I mean, there was a lot of total irrelevancies that we were seeing used. But I think the strategy by the Republicans in Congress is pretty clear. I mean, they simply want to do anything they can to impeach the witness, to do character assassination on these individuals, regardless of what that says about the administration. I mean, several of them are still working in the administration, so you have to. You know, there is something in law where you give extra credence to a statement which is not in somebody's best interest. And boy, we had a lot of those, that sort of one speaker after another were saying things that were definitely not in their best interest, not consistent with their career pattern. And they had the courage to stand up and say it. And I think in a court of law, that gets extra credence.
Now, John, at the same time, after Ambassador Gordon Sondland's testimony, there's a lot of commentary. Now, you know, you can take from it what you want, but there's a lot of commentary saying that he was doing kind of the opposite of what Terry just said. He basically threw everyone under the bus in an attempt to save himself.
And then ran quickly to catch his plane, right, which he barely made in time. Get the heck out of Dodge. Yeah, it was a very odd performance, but it was one of those things. This presidency has been like the movie Rashomon, where everybody says, no, this is actually what happened. Everybody kind of has these parallel lines of logic and reason and excuse making. So it's really bewildering to watch, and what I'll usually do is read commentators from all sides so I can say, okay, the truth is probably in the middle somewhere there. Let me triangulate the truth out of it. But it really is confusing, and Sondland's testimony was odd, and he's changed his perspective a few times now. So
several people have.
Right. It's really bizarre to watch, and Republicans on the committee, you know, they started out saying there was absolutely no quid pro quo. And then the president said there was a quid pro quo, and they said, yeah, but it doesn't matter. And then the president said there wasn't one. So it's just they're trying to defend this guy, this moving target.
I think the real takeaway here is that we just found out John did not watch all 3,000 hours of hearing this week. I'm shocked by that.
Shockingly.
Shocked.
No. I made it through the Democratic debates, all of them so far.
Oh, you're way ahead of me. Wow, you do have endurance. But I thought the comment John made earlier about, you know, normally you would have said mistakes were made and maybe even we're sorry about it and won't do it again. And Nick Mulvaney, the chief of staff, actually said that, basically get real. Of course, some of these types of conversations take place, but that's not the defense. That's not what is being said. And I think reality has taken a beating.
Terry, you've been an elected official for many years, off and on. So when elected officials get into this and decide how they want to, which direction they want to go, we understand it's party-driven. But how do you see this going next fall? I mean, how much of this, let's just say the House goes forward, impeaches, the Senate does not vote to impeach. So mm-hmm. then where vote to convict? Then where do we go from there? I mean, is this going to be carrying over and hanging over anybody who was in front of any of these folks, like Gordon Sondland or anybody else? Are we going to be seeing ads? Is this going to be over the top?
Oh, I think you're definitely going to be seeing ads both ways, basically saying, in especially in swing districts, so-and-so was slavishly loyal to the president and didn't pay any attention to what the witnesses were saying, or alternatively, they were out to get him. I think it will continue through the election for sure. It's also going to cloud the campaign, hard to campaign for office, especially before the nomination, if there is an impeachment going on in the Senate. That's going to be the number one story, and not whoever's running for president. So especially those candidates who are senators are going to have a rough time, making themselves available and doing their duty and then also campaigning. They really gonna have a hard time doing that.
John, are House Republicans going to be happy that they stuck with the president?
Oh, ask me next December, let's say. It's so tough. They're just in an impossible spot. And one of the convenient reasons I left the party in 2016. It's just difficult to defend someone who changes their story daily. One thing we will see, it'll no longer be President Trump in ads, but impeached President Trump, and it will come up in the campaign constantly, and it will be a stand-in just by saying impeach for all the drama everybody has endured for the past 3.5 years.
Does it make it harder? I mean, this kind of goes to Terry's point, especially for the senators who are running for president. Not only will it be difficult, it seems, to get their messages out there, it'll be tough for them to get themselves out on the campaign trail. Right? There are very strict rules about when a trial would have to happen, and basically you have to be there. You can't have your phone with you, all that stuff.
Right, and Mitch McConnell, as we know, likes to play with the procedures, and if he can make it as painful as possible, we know that he will. Throw some wrenches into the works, do some mischief. That's very good news for Vice President Biden. It's great news for Mayor Pete Buttigieg, and they'll be able to stay on the campaign trail as much as they want, and I just hope for Senator Warren and Booker and Harris's sake they don't get snowed out of flying into Iowa when they have that tight window to do so.
So obviously we're quite a ways away from voting, especially here in Arizona in the primary. Does depending on what happens with the impeachment, does that affect the Democratic primary in Arizona, do you think, John?
I don't think it will be a big thing. That's one thing we've seen throughout the Democratic debates on every level, local to national, is everybody is in agreement on that stage that Trump is bad. So I think if anything, it'll be a way just to unite the candidates and they'll try to separate themselves in other ways.
Terry, what do you think?
Oh, I think it's you're absolutely right. It's a unanimous opinion. The only question is who is the most credible in carrying the message that this president should be promptly beaten at the polls. I think that's the battle that's going on right now among the Democrats. Whether or not the impeachment takes place, and I think it's pretty much a foregone conclusion that it will. Not going to affect their standing. They're just vying with each other for how strongly they can cheer. But I think one of the things we lose sight of is all of this talk in the hearings recently has been about was there a quid pro quo? Was there something that was trying to be extracted from the Ukraine? And Bob Robb in the Republic made a very good point, which is that's really not what. What is important here, you didn't have to have a quid pro quo to have a serious miscarriage of national policy. To have a president talking officially on an official line to a head of state in another country, trying to extract a personal political favor, is just completely out of our political tradition. It's just not allowed. There's no way that I think any responsible political figure can say that that's okay.
Before we go to break in about a minute here, guys, let me start with you on this. So when it comes down to making an ethical decision on these things or wanting to stay in office, a lot of people have said to the Democrats, why are you even trying this if you can't get a conviction? And yes, it may help them politically, may hurt them. They don't know. Are they standing on ethics or not? Take us back to when you had to decide whether, because you, and even I'm going to talk about Paul Peterson later, you investigated people who were other elected officials, and that was probably a tough decision. How do you decide whether it's going to be about my political future or what's right, quote unquote?
Well, not to be Pollyanna, I really think there isn't much of a choice there. And the most powerful statement I've heard is, how can you be critical of the conduct of foreign affairs under this presidency and saying that it's corrupt? And then say, oh, but we'll wait till the election before we do anything about it. I mean, the House has a legitimate constitutional action involving a presidency. And the fact that they would, for political reasons, roll it to the election, I think would have been very hard to justify. So, frankly, even knowing that the Senate will acquit, and we know that, I think they are compelled responsibly to go forward. Some people are probably making a political calculation. I don't think it helps them politically. I really don't. I think the country gets more polarized. I think many people feel it's a waste of time. The harmony that I hear that I think is making an impact is we've got lots more. There was just a vote on rolling the budget for another series. There's no resolution as to the national budget. And I think people very reasonably are saying good stuff is being postpone while you worry about the investigation. Why are you doing that when you know it's not going to result in a conviction and not going to result in a judgment of impeachment? And I think the only thing I can find in there, which is a political disaster, but I think most members of the House that are doing this believe very sincerely that they can't sit by.
John, briefly before the break, any comments on that?
I agree. And also, too, they have to respond to their base as well, which has been clamoring for this. Most people in the Democratic Party have been clamoring for this. And I think Pelosi had one eye on the politics and tried to put this off a bit. But at some point, you just can't keep putting it off. And this is really the last chance they have to move to impeachment.
That's John Gabriel. Also here is Terry Goddard with Mark Brody. I'm Steve Goldstein in the midst of the Friday newscast, which continues after this. It's the Friday Newscap with Mark Brody in Phoenix. I'm Steve Goldstein. Our guests today are former Arizona Attorney General Terry Goddard and John Gabriel, editor-in-chief of Ricochet.com. Paul Peterson, Terry Goddard, the investigation into the county assessor goes on now. We have the county attorney, Alistair Adele, hiring an investigative team, an outside firm to look into this. As someone, again, I alluded to this before, as someone who investigated other elected officials while you were attorney general, general thoughts on how this is going to go and what we're looking for, what the supervisors are trying to do as well.
Well, the supervisors are trying to clean the deck, and I sympathize with them for that. I mean, somebody has been accused of some very serious crimes in three states, and that's no trivial matter. Most people, you can practically read the script, which is, I'm stepping down from my public office because these other charges make it impossible for me to carry on. Peterson hasn't done that. In fact, he said that there's nothing in common with the duties of the assessor and the charges that are made about the Marshall Islands children. I'm afraid he's probably right about that on the law, that you have to make the case that he wasn't doing his assessor job. If he's convicted, of course, any conviction of a felony would make it impossible for him to continue in the office that he was elected to. But that's not likely to happen before the normal election next year. So it is a really a catch-22 situation. He won't leave. It's absent dramatic statements of misconduct as assessor. It's going to be impossible for the supervisors to throw him out. They put a first-class team together. But as Bob Robb points out in the – I'm quoting Bob a lot today.
You're going
points
conservative
out in
on
the
us,
Republic,
yes.
That really is an exercise in putting a lot of money into something that may well not turn out to be what you're looking for.
I guess what is – so what is the point of all this, I guess, John, to Terry's point? You know, you hire – you bring Grant Woods on, former attorney general, to sort of oversee the whole thing. You hire a law firm to do an investigation.
Well, it's important to employ former attorney generals. So we're on that point for sure.
You agree on
I
that.
I applaud the Board of Supervisors for their foresight.
What do you think the supervisors might be hoping to get out of this, given, as Harry said, they can't get rid of him in all likelihood. They can't force him out of office. So I guess what's the point of all this activity?
I think part of it is to clean their hands of this pretty disgusting story. You know, it's one of those things where I almost don't want to read any updates on it because it's just so depressing. And also, too, just to increase pressure on him to resign on his own, to spend more time with his family, as they say. It's just such a disturbing story. And I think everybody on both sides and every office is just utterly appalled by this guy and that he's fighting it and fighting it tooth and nail. Now he says, Grant Woods, oh, he's biased against me. Well, okay, I'm biased against you too, but they got to find somebody. Yeah,
an impartial investigator is going to be really hard to find
right.
in this county.
Definitely.
And you know, he's being defended by the same person who defends Americans for Prosperity on dirty money. So hey, there's a synchronicity here.
So, at the end of the day, I mean, Terry, you alluded to the fact this might be something you spend a lot of money on, or the county spends a lot of money on, which I guess by extension is we're spending a lot of money on.
We are, yeah.
Where you don't really get much out of it. John, do you see that's going to be the end result here?
Most likely it will be, unless he finally decides to step down. But he is just digging his heels in so much. We've seen this so many times with people who just will not accept the facts of the situation. And he's saying he didn't have his hand caught in the cookie jar. It's obvious that he did.
Well, I'm making a leap for that, John. How Trumpian is this? Whenever everybody does something like this, it's right.
It is, yeah. It's this new policy of just trying to brazen it out and just say, no, you know, the phone call was perfect. My adoption scheme from the Marshall Islands was, how could you be offended by that kind of a thing? But it's just deeply appalling, the entire thing. And I think the county is just trying to say, hey, we're not with this guy. We do not approve of this, even if they spend some money doing it, building a case against him.
Yeah, they're making a moral statement and a statement of outrage. And it's not likely to be effective, but it is a strong statement.
Terry, given the low profile, at least up until now, of this office, do you think there's any chance that assuming Paul Peterson runs again, is there any chance he could actually win?
Well, I'm loath to make categorical predictions in this climate, but snowballs in hell have the close analogy here. I just don't see it happening. Okay. I mean, this is. Granted, he could say, I'm a great assessor, I'm just a lousy human being, but I don't think that's going to make a really good campaign.
That's not a good bumper sticker.
Platform. No, it doesn't even scan on the bumper.
Guys, let's move on to the new head of APS, Jeff Goldner, even though Don Brand will still be employed as a consultant. So, John, the feeling was that, and I don't know, APS was sort of quiet for many years and then got very involved in political activities. Of course, we're entering a political season. We already have.
Jeff Goldner hasn't made any promises that he won't have APS involved in political campaigning. Do you think they still will be heavily involved, and do you think they learned any lessons from the backlash they got?
I hope they've learned a lesson, because if nothing else, just from a PR perspective, any corporation that size is just, you need to be at least tolerated by your community and not viewed as an enemy. And you can understand them trying to influence the Corporation Commission. One thing that did about the incoming CEO that did was a little heartening is Chris Mays, who's on the Corporation Commission for a long time. She says, look, you know, I've met with him. He's always been very forthcoming. I feel hopeful for the first time in APS. So I'm hoping that they restructure their activities so they just don't look like the big old bully on the block.
Yeah, Terry, let's make it clear. You're the head of the outlawed dirty money referendum campaign, or at least nearer at the top. You're wearing a button. But I need to ask you about APS's political involvement and whether it took so long to actually confirm that APS was involved. How do you see APS going on this?
Well, and they only confirmed under duress 5 years after the actions were taken in 2014. In subsequent elections, they've made it clear that they're not providing anonymous cash for various, and they've done some political campaigning with their name, Pinnacle West, on the ads. So I think they've learned that lesson. But the problem is that, as John said, it's the harm that's been done. This is a company that had a extraordinarily good reputation. I mean, they have been a community builder for a long time and have taken that role very seriously. And previous CEOs have been adamant about staying out of political activity. They've had the PACs, but that was balanced. It was employee-related. They've not used corporate funds. Citizens United allowed them to it, and they jumped through that that window to their great detriment. I don't think there's any question that the community – well, you've seen the polls. Salt River is shown at the top in terms of customer satisfaction. APS is at the bottom. So I think the new CEO has got a big, big job to turn that reputation around in so many areas. You had the earlier segment on the 12,000 people who got basically snookered by a bad program trying to save the money but actually costing the money. We've got the problems of the deaths in the summer. This is a company that needs to bend over backwards to polish its reputation. I think Jeff Goldner is a naval officer. I think highly of him for many reasons, and I think he's got the chance to get it right, and I hope the board supports him in doing just that.
John, given all the things that Terry just mentioned with the website that wasn't working, obviously all the political spending stuff, the moratorium and all that after the woman in Sun City West died, how does Jeff Goldner go about trying to turn the reputation of this company around and, at least as you said earlier, have it be tolerated by the community? I mean, I assume he'd like a slightly higher bar than that, but at least how does he get to at least that level?
Well, I think years ago I used to do some public relations consulting, and something you might want to do is channel a lot of that money instead of into campaigns into youth activities and healthcare for the elderly and many things like that. If you want to improve your name in the community, help the community directly, not just your bottom line.
Well, for instance, my wife called the APS line, and the statement on hold gave this reassuring comment: "No one is being disconnected today." Well, this is November, and I don't know that anybody's really worried about it, but I just thought that was a sobering sort of the kind of misstatement or the kind of statement that doesn't give you that warm and cuddly feeling that this is a company that cares about you. And I think he's got to do dramatic moves. I don't think halfway measures. I agree with John that the community efforts are important, but they've been doing that. They contribute to a lot of very fine causes here in the Valley and have a lot of sort of respect because of that. But this goes way beyond that. It goes way beyond sort of rearranging the deck chairs. They have to prove, I think, to the people of Arizona that they are on a fundamentally different course and that they've rejected the ways of the past, which I think people feel were callous, were incredibly manipulative in the case of the political process, and essentially cast a dark mark across the company that Jeff Goldner's got a hell of a job ahead of him to get rid of.
That's Arizona's former Attorney General, Terry Goddard. John Gabriel is the editor-in-chief of Ricochet.com. Guys, thanks for being here. We appreciate it.
You bet.
You've been listening to the Friday Newscap from KJZZ's The Show. It's an original podcast recapping the week's big stories with experts, commentators, and reporters. You can get the full show podcast at podcast.kjzz.org. If you have any questions or comments, please email us at theshow@kjzz.org. I'm Steve Goldstein, and thanks for listening.